Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4, we're going to continue our study on the topic of the Holy Spirit. And these have been informative. These have been practical. Tonight, no different. I'm going to put my finger on something that I think will revolutionize your life for the rest of your life. Doesn't matter if you're 5 or 50 or 150, this can change your life, I promise you. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read the last three verses together. You follow along silently. Let's start reading in verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed into the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now look at me. We live in a world that is filled with discouraged people. Everywhere I go, people want to be encouraged. I walked into Sheets at 6 o'clock this morning, somewhere around that ballpark. And there was, Granny was working there. And honestly, that's what her name tag says. I don't know what her name is. Her name tag says Granny. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about, all right? Just a little old lady, and she and I are buddies. And I walked in, and I said, Granny, how you doing? She said, oh, I guess not too bad for this hour of the morning. And she said, Preacher, how come at this hour of the morning you're the only happy person around here? She said, I always know when you don't come in. And I said, because I have someone who helps keep me encouraged. She said, well, I'd like to meet him. I said, his name is the Holy Spirit. She said, I think I know where you're going. Now, wait a minute. The Bible says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, you're going to have to listen to me for just a moment. The word grieve means discourage. It means, and most people think of the word encourage, they want comfort, they don't want encouragement. Encourage means to instill courage. So to discourage means you take the courage away. That's why so many people in America just roll over and die. I don't know about you. I have probably failed more than I succeeded. But guess what? I don't give up. I just keep going. You see, to me, failure is giving up. That's being discouraged and staying discouraged. The topic tonight, how the Holy Spirit helps us not to stay discouraged. I did not say you would never get discouraged. Everybody gets discouraged. There's not hardly a day of my life I don't get bad news. This person's sick. This person passed away. This happened to this person. This person got this bad report. This has happened here. This has happened there. And I mean virtually every day of my life. And I'll be honest with you. I'm not a discouraged person. I'm really not. Now, when I get up at 4 or 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning, I don't jump up and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. You say, what do? I get up and go, here we go again. I don't get up, I resurrect, amen? I crawl to the shower. Say why? Because that's the only thing other than a cup of coffee by IV drip that's going to get me going. I get going. But I'll promise you one thing, I'm not discouraged. I might be tired, but I'm not discouraged. Now listen to me. The Bible says we can grieve or discourage the Holy Spirit. That's important because the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs is to encourage me. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside of you. We went through this a couple weeks ago. I'm going to backtrack just for a second because there's always somebody here that was not there then. I'm not upset when people say when you get saved, you ask Jesus into your heart, but theologically speaking and biblically speaking, that's not true. When you get saved, man is born of the Spirit, and the Spirit indwells you. You trust what Jesus did. God rebirths your spirit with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit indwells you. It's not Christ that lives in your heart. It's the Holy Spirit that lives in your heart. Okay? Just trust me, one of his jobs is to encourage you. Now, I'm going to make five statements, and they'll be fairly brief statements that will introduce the thought, and then I'm going to teach the main thought of the sermon tonight. Number one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to encourage me. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to encourage me. Number two, I can discourage or grieve the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Number three, listen to this. It hurts me when I discourage the Holy Spirit, because when I discourage the Holy Spirit, he cannot encourage me. If I discourage the Holy Spirit, he cannot encourage me. You see, when I discourage him, I hinder his ability to encourage me. Number four, I must find what discourages the Holy Spirit so that I don't hinder his ability to encourage me. Did you catch that? So if he is there to encourage me, and if I can discourage him, and it hurts me because I discourage him because that hurts his ability to encourage me, I must find out what discourages him so I don't discourage him. Number five, I need to find what encourages the Holy Spirit so he can continue to encourage me. Now, by the way, let me illustrate it with earthly relationships. Fellas, if you go home and complain to your wife about everything, you have just discouraged your encourager. Ladies, if your husband's been at work all day and you've been locked at the house with 14,237 children, and you're about ready to pull your hair out, their hair out, and his hair out, what's left of it, when he gets home, and he hits the door all happy, and you start complaining about everything everybody did, and you got to beat that one, and you got to beat that one, and you got to punish that one, and you got to do that to that one, and this is broke, and that's broke, and you're not doing anything, you're not getting supper till it's all fixed. You just discouraged the encourager. Let him breathe. Okay? This is true in a friendship. You know, so many of you, and don't take this the wrong way, but many of you discourage your friends by telling them all the problems going on in your life. Oh, I just got to tell somebody. Why don't you talk to God? I hate to tell you, God can take care of them better than anybody else can. Man, do I feel like I'm on an island all by myself. Parents, I know training children, especially young children, is difficult. From that age of about a year and a half until they're 20, that age of about a year and a half to about age 6-ish, man, I think I'd rather go through the second half of the tribulation. Say why? Because you feel like every day, let me rephrase that. I had two boys. You feel like about every 15 minutes, you're going through another battle. And it's battle and battle. And can I ever do anything right? You fight the battle then. It gets a little better, I promise you. Okay? But there's always something you can do to find encouragement with your children. this is true of pastor and people. Some of you barely made it to church tonight. You crawled in. You don't need me to get up and tell you how bad life is for me. Oh, woe is me. This is how bad it is. I'm not afraid to say this, and I'm not upset at churches that do this. I just have chosen, as pastor of Grace Baptist Church, I really don't plan on doing this. We don't have a Wednesday evening prayer service. Can I tell you why? Those churches discourage me. Man, you go and find out what ailment every human being on the face of the earth has. You find out this person's got this problem, this person's got that problem, this person's got that problem. Hey, anybody in here have a problem? Raise your hand. All right, everybody, let's pray for each other. Here we go. Man, I've been in those church services. They take longer on talking about how bad things are than they do teaching the Word of God to encourage you. Man, you walk out of there and you're thinking, boo. Now, if there's a major crisis, we're going to pray about it, and I'll bring it. But I'll be honest with you. I'm just not real excited. By the way, when you came here tonight, you didn't need to find out how bad everything was for everybody else. You needed encouraged. You've been working in the world. You've been putting your time in, and you've been barely making it and scratching it, and you needed something and somebody that would encourage you. Guess what? That's what my job is. Why would I sit here and tell you how bad a shape Ron's in and how Tammy's been beaten him to death and all that kind of stuff, and talk about how Gus has been harassing his wife and his mother-in-law and what kind of trouble he's been in, and God knows Jimbo's had his hands full and all those other things. Good night. You don't need to hear all those things. That's not going to encourage you. He said, well, what if somebody has a need? We'll pray about it. Okay? But to get up and say everything in public that's negative that I know right now, you'd walk out of here about ready to commit suicide. I'm not kidding. I've dealt with death this week. I've dealt with people with cancer this week. I've dealt with people with bad news medically this week. I have dealt with bad news financially this week with people. I have dealt with churches that have lost pastors. I've dealt with all kinds of things. You think I want to get up and tell you all those things? Boy, that's really going to encourage you in the Lord, isn't it? That's why don't get mad at me. That's why before I preach, I won't talk to you about your problems. See me after church. My line's out there. It's okay. I'll talk to you after church anytime, but I'm not hitting this pulpit discouraged. I'm just not going to do it. You say, well, I wanted to talk to you before church. Sorry, call me, set an appointment if you can't do it after church. I'll gladly meet with you, but you're not going to discourage me. Well, it's not that bad. If it's even slightly bad, I don't want to hear about it. I'm not being unkind. I just have to hit this pulpit excited, energetic, and not discouraged. You know, do me a favor. If somebody that hates my guts is here, which is probably all the time, don't walk up to me before church and say, oh, preacher, I'm praying for you. I know so-and-so's here, and they hate you. Don't do that to me. Just shut up. I'll find out they hate me in all due time. Don't worry about it. I can handle it then. I'm fighting for you, preacher. What battle do I have to face? You know, don't worry me that way. We're laughing. I'm serious. Now, you stay discouraged when you discourage the Holy Spirit. Because when you discourage the Holy Spirit, when you need courage, He cannot encourage you. We need to... I'm probably going to get in trouble, but I don't care. When somebody comes to me, I've had pastors come to me and say, oh, I just need to take a break for a while. I'm so discouraged. You need to get out of the ministry till you're right with God. Because that's a spiritual issue. You have discouraged the Holy Spirit. By the way, I'm not always encouraged about everything I got to face. But can I tell you something? God's bigger than me. Holy Spirit's got more power than I've got. If I'm living in depression, I should not be pastoring. I'm glad they're stepping away. But I always say in the back of my head, where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Listen to this statement very carefully. That doesn't mean every pastor that steps away stepped away because of depression. But if they stepped away due to depression, there's a spiritual issue. Did everybody catch that? Okay. When preachers say, oh, I'm just so depressed. Say, what do you tell them, preacher? I tell them, get in their Bible and get right with God. Get the power of God and their life goes soul winning. I said, that'll charge you back up. You won't be depressed very long. 17 people getting saved out soul winning last night. Let me tell you, I wasn't depressed. I wasn't depressed about one little thing. Everybody doing all right? Okay. God says that there are five things that discourage the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you what these five things are, and then there's a few things that encourage him. And I'll give you those, and we'll be out of here. Number one, the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed into the day of redemption. Watch this. Let all bitterness, first thing that discourages the Holy Spirit, bitterness. Everybody listen to me very carefully. Bitterness is a lack of forgiveness or not letting go of someone or something that has wronged you. Bitterness is the lack of forgiveness. I'm not afraid to say this. There's not one person in the world I have bitterness with. Not one. And I've had enemies for a long time. You don't preach like I preach and don't have enemies. Good night. I have friends that have become my enemies. Say why? They changed. I didn't. I have dear friends that I love, that I have loved like a brother or a sister. They have changed on their doctrines and changed on their stances. I'm not angry with them. I'm just not going to spend time with them. I'm not bitter. I've had them preach against me. That's okay. They can preach against me. As long as they're shooting at me, they're not bothering you. It's okay. But I'm not bitter with them. Now, listen to this statement. Bitter people never stay encouraged because bitterness discourages the Holy Spirit. Did you catch that? Bitter people never stay encouraged because bitterness discourages the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit's discouraged, he cannot encourage you. Everybody look at me for a second. Some of you have come out of a bad past. Some of you are bitter with yourself. And that's why you're always depressed. Some of you need to forgive yourself like you have forgiven someone else who just got saved. Can I tell you something? The 17 people that got saved last night are just as saved as you are. And their sins have been wiped away just like yours are. Why are you bitter about yours? Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. See, some of you are bitter with your own life and you keep going back to your own bitterness. God forgave it the moment you got saved. See, well, I did it after I got saved. Come Sunday, we'll talk about that. But let me tell you this, in God's mind, you never committed it. It's under the blood, past, present, and future. Let me redefine the word bitterness. Bitterness is revisiting the wrong. Bitterness is revisiting the wrong. Can I tell you why some of you have never forgiven yourself? Because you keep thinking about that thing that created the bitterness. You keep thinking about that divorce. You keep thinking about that forsaking by a parent. You keep thinking about that past sin. You keep thinking about that person that hurt you. You keep thinking about that one thing that bothered you so bad, and you go back and you remember it and remember it and remember it. And God said, that's what bitterness is. By the way, that's why God's not bitter, because he said, your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. As far as the east is from the west, I'll bury them in the depths of the sea. I don't even know they're there. By the way, God's not bitter. How are you doing? God's not discouraged. How are you doing? God chooses not to remember our sins. Now, listen to this. When you bring up past hurts to hurt someone, that bitterness is what discourages you and the Holy Spirit. When you get in an argument with your wife and you bring up something that happened 5 years ago, she brings up something happened 20 years ago, because she remembers farther than you do. Guess what? That's bitterness. You keep bringing it up. Hey, parents, when you bring up what happened 6 months ago or a year ago or 2 years ago with your children, quit hanging it over their head. Everybody doing all right?
Yes.
Okay. This altar should be full tonight of people getting rid of bitterness in their life. Full. I'm just so discouraged. I wished I would have. I wished I could have. I wished I would have. And you keep revisiting that. Guess what? You can't. It's over. Too bad. So sad. Get it right and go on.
Yes.
Well, it's just not that easy. I feel so bad because you keep thinking about it. And you keep revisiting it. Well, it doesn't matter. It's over. Give it to God. Go on. Number two, I got to hurry. God said, let all bitterness and wrath. Number two, wrath discourages the Holy Spirit. I want you to pay attention to this very carefully. Wrath does not mean anger. Because if you'll notice, anger is in that list. Wrath is a passionate anger that burns beyond reason or truth. Wrath is passion, passionate anger that burns beyond reason or truth. Let me say it this way. Wrath is emotional anger that overrides truth. Wrath is allowing passion of an issue to override the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me illustrate it this way. I hate abortion. Hate it with a passion. I think it's wrong to murder an innocent child in the womb of a lady. I don't care what anybody says. It's sin, it's murder, and it's wrong. Every one of the doctors that performs it ought to be put in jail and put to death for murder. Now, I believe in that. I'm not afraid to say that. But can I tell you something? These churches that get so politically active against abortion, they'll go stand outside a clinic and they'll protest and they'll get mean-spirited. And they're so for the unborn child, listen to this statement, they actually stop their soul winning. They get so passionate for an issue and passionate for an issue that they hate, those churches always go away from soul winning. Can I tell you the best way to stop abortion? Start winning every person to Christ you can get saved, get them in church, get their life right with God, and they won't have an abortion. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. You've got to get them saved before they're going to make a spiritual decision. Standing out there protesting, giving your church a bad name is not going to do it. Everybody doing all right? Man, that's a good statement. You see, I better read this as I wrote it. The Holy Spirit is discouraged because he cannot lead you when you're allowing your emotions to be more important than him. When you are so passionate about one thing that you don't let the Holy Spirit have control, guess what? You have wrath. That's why I tell people all the time, don't think with your emotions. Don't allow your emotions to make your decisions. I must hurry. Number three, anger discourages the Holy Spirit. Anger is a planned vengeance to get back at someone who hurt you. Anger is planning an attack to hurt someone. And by the way, when you plan to hurt someone, that hurts the Holy Spirit. My mom and I were talking, we joked about it just real quick the other night. I wasn't too bad a kid. That's hard to believe. Actually, I just was smart enough not to get caught is what it was. But I had a pretty high tolerance of being able to put up with a lot. I had an older brother. I still have an older brother. I almost didn't have an older brother. But I was 4 or 5 years old. My brother, he was you know, the typical older brother, just pick, 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 pick. I was, and I finally had it. Say, what'd you do? We were working out in the yard. I picked up a hoe and I started chasing him. I chased him about three houses down, swinging a hoe at him. Say, what would you have done if you had hit him? Whacked him all the way through for all I know and all I cared. But that bugger ran out in the middle of the road, screaming and hollering, Mom, Mom, Mom. Well, I knew if I stepped out in the road, I was going to get beat. I thought, hey, stupid, stay out in the road. Mom's going to come beat you for being in the road. Man, I turned around, there's Dad. He grabs the hoe and starts beating me for chasing him with the hoe. He never got beat for going in the street, but I got beat for swinging a hoe. That wasn't fair. That wasn't just. That's why my psyche's warped, all right? But anyway, I had planned to get back at him. Say why? I'd had enough. Now, planning an attack is anger. Anger is a result of bitterness, and angry people are never encouraged people. Did you ever see somebody that's angry? Do they look encouraged? Get out of my way. My daughter was driving today, and some lady, she was letting somebody else go, and the person behind her just laid on the horn. And she was like, my wife said, it's okay, just let her blow the horn. She said, no, that made me mad. And we've all been there before. She was trying to be nice, and somebody's getting ticked off at her. What I think is funny is nobody ever hears what you say to the other person. Who cares? You say, what do you do when somebody does that? I turn around, smile, and go, hi. You don't bother me. You're not going around me, so who cares? Now, wait a minute. Angry people are not encouraged people. And when you anger and you seek vengeance on someone, you are discouraging the Holy Spirit. Number four. Look at Ephesians 4 again. Let all bitterness, verse 31, and anger. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor. Ooh, the next one, clamor. Clamor is an interesting word. Clamor means loud opposition or loud vocal disagreement against authority. Everybody doing okay? Okay, I'm going to read what I wrote down. I'm not talking to you personally. I was talking to me when I wrote this down. When you run your mouth in attitude against authority, you discourage the Holy Spirit. When you get mad at the boss and start telling everybody why you disagree with the boss, you just created clamor, and the Holy Spirit is gone. You go to work and watch people talk bad about the leadership of work. Are they encouraged people? Man, I must have stepped on a really raw nerve. It's about ready to bring a casket in here. It's so quiet. When you start vocalizing your opposition to authority and to others about authority, listen to this statement, you are actually challenging the authority of the Holy Spirit. And that discourages him. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Smith, why don't you stand right there for a moment. Here is Brother Smith. Hi. How are you? Brother Smith leads the songs here. He has a leadership position. He's one of our deacons, and he's a soul winner, and he's an assistant Sunday school teacher to the Agape Couples class. If I do something that makes him mad and he stands up in the couples class and tells them, we're going to do this, but I'm in total disagreement with it, I think this is stupid, that's called clamor. But watch this. It also discourages him because he has discouraged the Holy Spirit. Say, how does that work? This especially works amongst saved people. Because he has the Holy Spirit in him, and I have the Holy Spirit in me. And if I talk bad about somebody else that has the Holy Spirit, I discourage the Holy Spirit in me from encouraging me. It doesn't discourage him. Watch this. But the Holy Spirit discourages me and is not able to encourage me because I'm talking bad about him inside him. Everybody doing all right? Have a seat. teenager, when you start running your mouth about how stupid your mom and dad are and they're saved, you're discouraging the Holy Spirit because you are challenging the Holy Spirit inside your mom and dad. Boys and girls, when you disobey your mom and dad and talk bad about why you didn't want to obey them, you're discouraging yourself by discouraging the Holy Spirit in you, and the Holy Spirit will not be contrary with himself. He can't encourage you when you're in that frame of mind. Everybody doing all right? We are not to go around expressing our opposition to authority, even if we believe we're right, because it hurts the Holy Spirit. Listen, I worked for four pastors. I had to think there for a second. In the 23 years I was an assistant pastor, do you think I agreed 100% of the time with every decision that was made by my pastors? Uh-uh. Every one of them I disagreed with, including Brother Hiles. Sometimes I was right. Most of the times I wasn't. But I still disagreed with them. You won't find one person that'll tell you what those differences were. My wife doesn't even know what those differences were. I didn't tell her. Say why? Because I did not want to discourage the Holy Spirit, and I didn't want to discourage her. Therefore, we stayed encouraged. When you start talking bad about your children's teachers, you're discouraging the Holy Spirit. Some of you will have a bad school year because all you're going to do is run your mouth about how stupid that teacher is. Well, my child's teacher wasn't right. Okay, they weren't right once. How many times have you faced the very same thing with that child? Well, my child would never lie. You need an appointment in my office really fast. Well, my child wouldn't lie to me. I think you better go back and think on that one just that long. Everybody doing all right? Before you start running your mouth in opposition, I'm not afraid to say this, even about where you work. And folks, none of us that live by truth and righteousness like the direction our country's going. But to stand up in loud opposition and start spouting our mouth about how bad our country is, isn't real bright. I still believe there's hope for America. I believe we got a lot more work to do. But for us to stand up and vocalize it, how are we helping anybody? Our vocal opposition to authority grieves the Holy Spirit because it breaks down his authority and tears you down. Number five, and I must hurry. The last thing that God says that discourages the Holy Spirit is evil speaking. Evil speaking discourages the Holy Spirit. The word evil is an interesting word. It means conspiracy. It means two or more people getting together to hurt in a planned way someone else. Brother Smith, come on up here. Brother Smith and I, this is what evil would be. We're going to get together. We're going to try to destroy Joe Lopez. Did you hear what Joe Lopez did? Man, I got to tell you. And we go into this thing together. I pull him into this and say, I think we need to help him, don't you? The only way we're going to help him is let everybody know what he did so he doesn't do that again. That's called evil speaking. Thank you, Brother Smith. That's why it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives before somebody that makes a mistake in our church, we bring them up here and tell the whole church what they did that was wrong. That's evil speaking. That's wicked as hell. That's not church doctrine, that's not Bible doctrine either. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Well, the Bible says bring it before the church. Go do some Bible study. See me later, sweetheart. It also says keep your mouth shut about evil. Anybody that wants to get up and tell all their sins to everybody? Then why do you want to know about somebody else's? What good is it going to do you to know what their sin was anyway? Amen. Who are you, God? Can you forgive it? The Holy Spirit cannot look or listen to evil because it's totally opposite holiness. Everybody catch that? It cannot look on nor listen to evil. Evil is a conspiracy of two or more to hurt or destroy someone. Gossip is evil. Talking about someone else's sin behind their back is evil. You're not trying to help that person. I know you try to Baptize it. That is a word I just created. You try to make it a positive Baptist thing. Oh, I need you to pray for Brother Joe, Brother Smith. Did you hear what he did? That's how you pretend to be holy with your gossip. Puke. That makes God vomit. Expressing opposition to rules to get others to follow you and not the rule is evil. Hey, young people, when you go to school, I don't care what rule you disagree with, follow it, whether you like it or not. You know, there are rules I follow that I don't like. I don't like the seatbelt law. I think it's a government infraction on my personal right. I don't think the government has any business telling me I have to wear it. I think it's wise to wear it, and I wear it every time I get in a vehicle. But listen to this statement. I think it's wrong for the government to tell me I have to. Guess what? I don't care whether I think it's wrong. I still obey it. Everybody doing all right? Okay. There are certain streets in this county I think are stupid that they got it at 35 or 25 mile an hour. Ought to be 45. Guess what? I drive the speed limit. Boy, that's good. How can a forgiving God plan the destruction of someone who has himself in them? And you discourage the Holy Spirit by talking evil about someone else. If I'm going to talk bad about Brother Lopez, how can the Holy Spirit encourage me? Because Brother Lopez has the Holy Spirit inside him. And if I get somebody else to go with me to destroy Brother Lopez, how is that going to help us? It discourages the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to this. I want you to notice all five of these things. It didn't say one time smoking discourages the Holy Spirit. Not one time did it say drinking alcohol discourages the Holy Spirit. Not one time did it ever say that taking drugs discourages the Holy Spirit. Those are sinful things, and it will hinder the Spirit. And you'll suffer the consequences for it. But every one of these things has to do with your relationship with other people. Every one of them. Those aren't my words. Those are God's. Look at Ephesians 4 again. And grieve not, discourage not, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, and wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You say, those are the things that discourages him. Yep, and verse number 32 is what encourages him. You ready? And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Three things. God says, be kind. Can I tell you something? Every time you're kind to somebody, you're encouraging the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit gets encouraged, he can encourage you. When we go to a store, my daughter loves going to the store with me because she thinks I'll buy something for her. But if I'm standing at the checkout lane, because I bought something for her. But if I'm at the checkout lane, I've had a game I've played all these years. I try to make the person at the cash register smile. That is goal number one. Praise the Lord. Is that somebody's phone? Or something fell. All right. But I try to be kind. I was in a store recently, and my daughter says, Daddy, this one could be a challenge. I got him to smile. Now, it was a little harder work than it usually is, but I eventually did it. We walked out. She said, "How do you do that?" I said, "I don't know, but it sure is fun. Watching some old crab finally smile. Watching the paint crack." Now, wait a minute. God said, "Be kind." Can I tell you something? Did you know you can be kind to somebody that hates your guts? My secretary. Now I figured it out. All right. Now, you can be kind. Guess what? Well, I hate the Muslims. No, I don't hate the Muslims. I hate Muslim doctrine. Do you know there are a lot of Muslim people I've been kind to? By the way, they don't believe one thing and they would like to kill me. I don't care. I can still be kind to them. Everybody doing all right? By the way, you say, "Well, I could be kind to everybody except," then you are limiting the Holy Spirit of God. There is not one human being on the face of the earth I could not be kind to. Not one. Including the president. Might have to work at that one. I would be kind. I would be respectful. I don't have to agree with somebody to be kind to them. I really don't. I think it was yesterday morning. I was at Sheets getting some coffee, and there was, it's probably one of the roughest critters I ever watched walk into that store in a long time. You know, when he walked in, all of the employees went like this. I thought, I got in line. He got in line right behind me. There's a couple people ahead, and he started growling. I knew exactly what I was going to do. They said, "Next." I said, "Sir, why don't you go ahead of me?" Oh, no, that's okay. I said, "You look like you're more of a hurry than I am." "Really?" I said, "Sure." He said, "Man, thanks." The guy smiled. And everybody in the store went like this. I said, "No problem." On he went. I don't know if he was going to stick me with a knife or shoot me with a gun. I didn't care. Go ahead, man. Go at it. Say, what was it? Just an act of kindness. There was two ladies working. I paid for mine. We walked out about the same time. He held the door for me. And I mean, people are just freaking out like this, you know. They couldn't believe it. I said, "Thank you." He said, "Hey, you were kind to me. I'll be kind to you." I said, "I hope you have a good day." He said, "I will now." I said, "Me too." That's exactly what God says here. Be kind one to another. It doesn't say only to Christians. Tender-hearted. Do you know what tender-hearted means? You care about somebody else's hurts. You care about somebody else's needs. You care about what hurts somebody. You care about their trials. You care about the fact that they've lost a loved one. You care about the fact that they're sick. You care about the fact that they just had a child and everything isn't all like it used to be and it's going to take everybody time to get back into a schedule and they might need a little extra patience. You care about the fact that somebody else doesn't look at life just the way you do. Be tender. Hey, sir, maybe if you'd quit getting frustrated with your wife and be tender with your wife, you might start seeing why she's hurting like she's hurting. Okay, moving on. Forgiving one another. The Bible says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Who have you not forgiven? By the way, that lack of forgiveness goes to that bitterness. When you start forgiving people, can I tell you something? You start encouraging the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you why? You become most like God when you start forgiving people. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You say, has anybody ever done anything wrong to you? Oh, no, ever. Can I tell you something? There's not a person in the world I haven't forgiven. Not a one. Not one. that doesn't mean I trust them all. I can forgive a rattlesnake for biting and killing somebody. That doesn't mean I'm going to go play with him. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You can forgive a dog that bites, but you're not going to play with him. It's just the way it goes. Now, listen to this. You show me people who discourage the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you people who stay discouraged. You show me people who discourage the Holy Spirit, I'll show you people who are always discouraged. You show me people who discourage the Holy Spirit, and I'll show you people whose emotions constantly overwhelm them, and they live in a state of panic and fear. You see, without the Holy Spirit to balance your emotions out, I hate to tell you something, you're living by your emotions, not God's. You are living by your lack of emotional control and not the Holy Spirit controlling your emotions. There are times I would like to get angry, but I cannot. There are times I am frustrated, and I can't show you. Say why? Because I need the Holy Spirit. About 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, some little 9-10-year-old kid, he was being rough. A year ago, the kid punched me right square in the face. He came back. This time, he reared back and spit in my face twice. I'll be honest with you. My wife was near. She saw the anger coming. I got him away, not with handcuffs, though I thought about it. I handed him to the parent, and I said, I will be right back. Say, what did you do? I went to the washroom to wash my face, first of all, but that wasn't the biggest reason. Biggest reason was, if I didn't go there, and the whole time I was gone, I was saying, Holy Spirit, control me before I kill this kid. Holy Spirit, control me. When I walked back out, I was very firm, but I was under Holy Spirit control, not preacher control. Because preacher control would have had me both hands around that kid's neck, popping him like a zit. I can put up with a lot. Don't spit in my face. Whew. Say, did you lose it? No. Can I tell you why? I let my emotions be overridden by the Holy Spirit. How many times in life do we let our emotions overrule us and we emotion out the Holy Spirit? And we've discouraged him. We live in this constant state of, I can cancel your panic attack. Get the power of God. It's that simple. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Huh. What a recipe how to not stay discouraged in your life.